Welcome to the weekend edition of New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. This is a rebroadcast of previous New Life material. Therefore, we're not taking callers to the program today. But if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're about a month away from Independence Day in the good old U.S. of A., but you can have real freedom starting today. This is New Life Live. I'm your host, Brian Perez, and I'm joined in the studio by licensed marriage and family therapist, Mark Cameron, author of Understanding Your Attachment Style. It's available in the newlife.com store. Parenting expert Jim Burns is here, too. He's got a new book in our store as well. It's called When Your Adult Child Strays. Now, Jim's also the founder of Homeword, and I'll bet he's got some words of wisdom to get us started.
I do. I'm going to talk about relationships today. And, you know, we all have complicated relationships all the time. I mean, we just do. But I had an experience a while ago, and I want to share this with you and why it's so key, is I had an experience. I was up in the lunchroom at eHarmony.com. I've done some consulting for them, and Neil Clark Warren is one of my true heroes and mentors in my life. He was the founder. And I said, what is the kind of secret to a healthy relationship? And without a moment's hesitation, he looked up at me and he said, and we were thinking about, of course, pre-marriage, but it's with marriage as well. And he's a marriage expert, he's written great books on it. He said, I would give everybody a box, wrap it up, and inside that box would be adaptability. And I said, what do you mean adaptability? He said, you got to be flexible. Stuff happens in your life. Manure happens in your life. And if you're adaptable, you're going to do much, much better. And he said, and I would throw in a little bit of positivity. And so for me, two words rise above the rest when it comes to relationships. This is kind of simple, and I realize it can get complicated, but positive adaptability. And I really do think that that makes a major difference. You know, Kathy and I are very different people. We've been married 52 years. When we first got married, she was an introvert. I'm an extrovert. That still is the case, but it bugged me 52 years ago. Today, it doesn't bug me. I've just embraced that she's going to have a much healthier conversation with one person at a party, and I'm going to talk to everybody about those Dodgers and how they're doing and not have it as deep of a and meaningful as a conversation. And to be honest, I now embrace that. Kathy's a detail person. I'm not a detail person. So guess who does our banking? Kathy. Yay. And that's because I just round things up, and she thinks that's gross. Maybe you think that's gross, too. But I have a phrase that has really helped me in my relationship with Kathy on thinking about positive adaptability. And I just use the phrase, does it really matter? Now, some things matter. People call us, and there's been abuse. There's been adultery. There's all kinds of issues that here at New Life we get, and that matters. Okay, but some things don't matter. If Kathy's going to be late to church again, you know, sometimes that is not a big deal. And yet it was a big deal, and I think we had fights over that. We don't today. If I just am going to miss it, that's not as big a deal to me anymore. I love what Winston Churchill said. He said, you will never reach the destination if you stop and throw stones at every dog that barks. So in a relationship, you can't throw stones at every dog that barks. You may be thinking you wish your spouse could hear that right now. I get it, but maybe you too. So positive adaptability. There's something that we call the magic ratio. This is from John Gottman, who's a great marriage therapist. In fact, he says this. He says, I've never seen anybody get a divorce if they have 5 positive interactions to 1 negative interaction. That's what he calls the magic ratio. That's amazing. I'm not saying that's easy. You can be intentional, and that can make a huge difference in your relationship. So practice some positive adaptability. It's not easy, but it's a discipline.
5 to 1.
5 to 1. That's what he calls the magic ratio.
That sounds, I mean, is that doable?
He says 1 to 1, they're either in a stale marriage or on the way to divorce.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it makes sense. But, I tried that in my relationship, and it means I have to be very intentional about it.
Yeah. You got it. Okay. Very good. So thank you, Dr. Jim Burns, for those opening remarks here on New Life Live. You've got to get his new book. It's called When Your Adult Child Strays. It's available there in the newlife.com store. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with your questions. We've got one that was submitted online from Cody in Alaska. We'll get to it when we come back.
my husband addicted to pornography for the majority of our marriage. I was very isolated and didn't really know which way to turn.
If you've been affected by betrayal, an emotional or physical affair, or pornography, the Restore Intensive will equip you with support and tools to help you through.
I went to the Restore Conference, which seems to be the missing puzzle piece where I was able to find my voice.
When two people want to do their part, we can be restored. But if they don't, we are not stuck because someone else made a decision. God lets us weigh in on how we want to walk out our lives.
The Restore Intensive is coming to Washington, D.C., November 13th through the 15th. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Enter the code NLL for a discount.
I'm navigating my world now.
I've had a great experience at Restore.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Now back to New Life Live.
So we are here in the studio to answer the questions that you have about your life, and we love helping as many people as we can. We also know that not everybody can call in when we're here in the studio, so we've come up with a couple of different ways that you can get your question to us. You can send us an email or leave us a voicemail, and you can find out how to do that on our website, newlife.com/radio. That gives you the phone number to call or the email address to use to get us your question. But we prefer to hear the sound of your voice, so call in when you can. Here's a question that was submitted online. It's an email from Cody in Alaska, and his main question is, how do I convince my wife that she needs to go to counseling in order to heal? This is affecting me and our family, says Cody. We've had the conversation many times before, but it never goes anywhere. If I have to drag her to counseling, is that what needs to happen, or does she have to want to go on her own? She won't tell me her deepest, darkest secrets because she feels she cannot trust me. She often says I will blab her secrets to everyone. Well, I only talk to other people about issues that affect me and our marriage because I want to help our marriage. We've been married for 12 years. We have 3 children. This is the first marriage for each of us. I feel like she's avoiding counseling because of childhood trauma and the pain she would have to deal with. I have had a porn problem in the past that hurt her and our relationship, but for the most part, I've dealt with that issue the best I know how. She says she wants me to be her friend and a listening ear, but never actually tells me anything deep. All she wants me to do is listen. How do I begin the conversation of telling her that things need to change or else? And what is the or else? Separation for a day, a week, or something else? I'm really looking for a long-term solution because we seem to be stuck in a cycle of fighting and apologizing, but nothing changes. Mark, what would you say to Cody?
Well, I think what I would say to Cody is, obviously there's some mistrust going on here. Cody said in there that she says, I can't trust you because he blabs secrets. Now, I think it's healthy for us to have people who we go to and we talk to. I think everybody needs to have that in our lives. But we shouldn't be going and talking to everybody about everything that's happening in our lives. And I don't know if that is what's happening with you, Cody. But maybe some of building back that trust with your wife, or building the trust, because maybe it's not there yet, is to talk with her about who are some agreed upon safe people that each of you can go to discuss marriage problems with, so that she feels comfortable knowing that the people who you're going to are for your marriage, they're for both of you, and they're going to be healthy, balanced people. They're not just your Aunt Sally or this person at work who's going to tell you to go get a divorce or go have an affair or something like that. So I think if she knows that you're talking to people who are for her too, and that she doesn't mind knowing these things, I think that will help build some trust. I think another question that you could ask is, what can I do to be safe? Now, you don't have to go along with everything that she says, but just create in that space to help her feel heard, and to let her know that you care about her feeling safe can go a long way to trust building too. I wouldn't go with things need to change or else, because that I think is likely to cause more resistance. Now, it is true that each of us have our own hang-ups, and some of those hang-ups impact the family more than others. And so if that is getting to a certain degree there, then yes, while it's more beneficial if somebody opts to go to therapy or counseling by themselves, there's two different types of motivation. There's internal motivation and there's external motivation. And internal motivation is, I want to do it. I see that there's a problem and I see I need healing, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go and address it. Whereas external motivation is, I'm going to lose a relationship or I'm going to lose a benefit in a relationship if I don't do it. And oftentimes that is what is needed when somebody is unwilling. And that's why in addiction recovery, we call it rock bottom, that somebody has to reach a place where they can't go any further to be able to get that motivation to move higher. But usually it's not something that's inward, it's something that's external, that there's a consequence, and the cost of staying the same is exceeding the benefit of change. But I wouldn't present it in you need to change it else. I would present it in a way of, I love you, I care about you, here's the impact on me, and here's what I really need to see. And if you're unwilling to do that, then I'm going to have to do this. But the reason I'm doing this is so that we can have closeness in our relationship, not to punish you.
So Cody's trying to get his wife to go to counseling, but I'm wondering if he himself has done counseling, yeah. Because it sounds to me like he's going to people at church or wherever, and he's, you know, as he says, that she feels that Cody is blabbing her secrets mm-hmm. to everyone. Yeah. So instead of telling, you know, your neighbors or people at church or your coworkers, what if Cody himself got a right. counselor and chose that?
Well, that's where I was going. Cody, I would suggest that you go get counseling. You can't talk her into it, but you go get counseling. This may take 2 weeks, it may take 2 months, it may take a year. But if you're growing and changing and it's been helpful for you, by the way, the Bible says where there's no counsel, the people fall in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So it's causing safety. If she begins to see you change without you telling her that she needs to change, but then invite her. This has been my story for years. I suggest to people, go. And sometimes your spouse will follow you, sometimes your kids will follow you, whatever it might be. But as time goes on, she may see your enthusiasm and energy, that what you're learning, counseling is partly discipleship in your own life. And so what happens is then she may come, and actually she may trust the counselor more than she's going to trust you, because the counselor is going to say, look, I tell no one this story. And then I want to, please, don't go blabbing her story around, because again, then you have not gained her trust. So in a marriage relationship, you need to be able to say to her, as Mark said, hey, I would like to talk to somebody about this. Are you willing to let me tell that story? And if she says no, then don't tell her. Because we need to earn the trust, and somehow you've lost some of that trust. And so maybe she is afraid. And, you know, a crisis is self-defined. Her crisis when she was young may not be as big a deal to you, but it's a major shameful thing to her. And so she's got some shame probably going on. Go get the help yourself. Go get the counsel you want and need, because you can always use counsel. You've written us a great email with a lot of stuff. There's layers to this. And go get the counsel and then invite her to make that happen.
Yeah, and when you go to counseling, a good way to invite her into counseling would be to you start by yourself and then invite her to come and say, hey, my therapist wants to hear your side and what your thoughts are and what I can work on. And I know that is a really big, vulnerable thing to do, but vulnerability breeds vulnerability. You want her to be vulnerable. And so at least that gets her, and again, it's not in a manipulative way I'm saying, but that gets her in the door to be able to meet the counselor, to see that person, to see their style, to be comfortable being in the room. And she's there to give you feedback, and the more likely then if you can take that in a vulnerable way, she will be able to receive it back too.
You know, Mark, I think that's so key, because you don't want to get her to counsel so that you can, the counselor and you can gang up on him.
Right.
Because that's what she's going to be fearful for. So surprise her with, what I want to know is what, you know, I can do better in this case. And she's like, oh, I thought you guys were going to pounce on me because, you know, I didn't do this. Keep that first session, keep your mouth shut about that. Deal with your own stuff. There's plenty you can deal with, and that'll actually help her become freer to then go, wow, this is a good environment. This is a good place. And a good counselor is going to help you think through that too.
Cody also says that all his wife wants him to do is to listen. That she just wants him to be a listening ear. And sounds like Cody wants to give advice and everything else, but she's just like, no, I just want you to listen to me. Is that such a bad thing?
I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, we all have advice. I tried to give my wife advice this morning, and she was like, okay, I'm good. It was on the way here to New Life. I was telling her what I thought she should do this afternoon, and she had a different opinion. It wasn't even angry. She just pretty much shut down the thing. So yeah, I mean, I think sometimes we just simply need to listen. We even have the right answers sometimes, and we want to tell them, but there's times to do that and times not to. And if they're not being receptive to it, I think it's critical that we are very careful at how we give advice. You know, I talk about parenting your adult children, or not parenting them, doing life with them. And I say unsolicited advice, you know, to them is a sign of criticism. Well, that's the same with our spouses sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to take the hit, my heavens, but there's other times when we just need to bite our tongue even with our spouse. And listening is the language of love. And they actually see that as a love language. I know that is the case with most couples, that if you just listen, and I've said to Kathy many times, do you want my advice on this, or do you want me just to listen and kind of give you a hug? And there's times when she said, I just need to get this off my chest. Mm-hmm. So in other words, she doesn't want my advice that other people pay me for. Mm-hmm. What's up with that?
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, listening is a gift. And oftentimes we feel better when we feel listened to rather than getting the advice, getting the solution. Yeah, wise counsel is good, but we need someone who first understands us, empathizes with us, and validates what we're feeling first. But healthy relationships do have balance. And so maybe you start with asking, can we take some time and listen to one another? Mm-hmm. I'll go first and I'll listen to you, and I'll try and do that in a really productive way. Mm-hmm. And then would you be willing to do that back for me? And a great tool to do that is something designed by Milan and Kay Yerkovich, which is written in their book, How We Love. It's called the Comfort Circle. And it's a structured process of there being a listener and a speaker in a conversation, and then that taking turns to hear one another out. Mm-hmm. And you might find that to be really, really helpful and actually transformative, I would go as far as say that, because I think it is transformative to relationships when you can learn to hear one another out in that way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because with the comfort circle, what they say not to do is not immediately get defensive. How many times when couples are talking, mm-hmm. One person is in the middle of the sentence and the other person is already defending themselves. Mm-hmm. That's not comforting. That's not listening. But I'm right and you're wrong, that kind of a thing. And so we have to sometimes it's comforting to be listened to.
Mm-hmm. And the key is to listen for understanding, not for agreement. And I think that's a big shift for a lot of people. It was a big shift for me, because when I was listening to someone else, you know, I wanted them to hear and know my opinion and really to agree with it.
Right.
But when you listen for understanding, it shifts what the strategy is. Like, I don't have to correct you. I don't need to roll my eyes or sigh, because it's not about getting you to agree with me.
Right, right.
Or agreeing with you.
Right, right. I even say to people, more in the adult child world, but even if you can show empathy, you may not agree with them, but if you can even show empathy, I understand where you're coming from, and I'm sorry you feel that way. That's without saying, and I'm all wrong. Mm-hmm. No, if you don't feel like you are. But yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I mean, you can still listen to somebody and continue to hold your own opinion.
Yes.
That's completely possible. And I think actually if we did that in our country, especially in politics, we'd get a lot further. Nice. But in our culture today, it's the loudest megaphone wins.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If I don't like what you're saying, I'm going to speak over you.
Yeah.
And that happens at rallies. People go there to distort and shut someone else down. But you're not actually winning someone over able to have a discussion or a dialogue.
No. I'm thinking about voting for Mark. Next,
that's a great idea.
Could be governor, it could be president, whoever.
Yes, but
I'm well, I wasn't born over here, so I can't be president.
That's true.
Okay. Well, We'll get to a governorship or something. But something else really quick, because we're running out of time for the break. But Cody says that for the most part, he's dealt with his porn problem from the past the best that he knows how. Yeah. We have no idea what it is that he's doing to have solved that. But if he hasn't tried every man's battle, that would be the... Because when you try to do things on your own or with your own... You know, self-control, whatever, it doesn't always work.
No. He wants to keep... It's going to be a lifelong process for him to be working on that.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Sign up.
Yep.
Cody.
And then if you and your wife could sign up for Intimacy and Marriage, that would be very helpful for you. We've got one coming up at the end of July, near the end of July. You can get all the details on our website, newlife.com. And you might think, well, I've got a pretty good marriage. I mean, you know, I listen to what Cody's going through and mine's pretty good. Well, why are you settling for just pretty good when you can have great, wonderful, marvelous, all those wonderful words. So find out more at newlife.com or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown. If you want to be part of what God is doing through New Life, we have a matching gift campaign going on right now. We had a group of donors. They believe in the ministry of New Life. They see how our world needs truth, compassion, needs grace, and it needs some clinical expertise. And so we started with a seed of $250,000, and we have just been blessed with another additional $50,000 towards the seed. So the match is now at $300,000. So that means every dollar that you give will be doubled up to that amount, and it will make a difference in the lives of so many people. It helps New Life continue to do the work that we've done for close to 40 years. I want to encourage you, if you want to be part of the match, you can go to newlife.com/match, or you can text the word match to 28950 or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Your gift will be doubled and will make such a difference in the lives of so many people.
For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. If you'd like to ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Now back to New Life Live.
And let's go to the phones. Here is Susan, who listens to the New Life Live podcast in Irvine, California. Welcome, Susan, to New Life Live. You're on with Dr. Jim Burns and Mark Cameron.
Hello.
Hello, Susan. How can we help you today?
Hi. Yes, I want your help. I wanted to know how I handle my granddaughter giving her money for her high school graduation when she never thanked me for giving her money last week for her birthday, or never thanked me for Easter giving her money. And I wasn't, and so I don't know how to handle this. I want her to understand that it's important to say thank you. That's important to me. I've told her that.
So are these two times the first instances that you've ever given her money? Has she been thankful in the past?
No, it's a constant thing.
Okay. So it's been going on for several years. And what about like Christmas gifts and things like that?
Well, Christmas gifts, she's here. And I don't know if she says thank you, but it's opening presents, and I assume she might say thank you. But when I haven't been around her, like I couldn't be there at Easter, and then on her birthday, I sent a card on her birthday with my son because I was having some health issues, mm-hmm. and I put money in it. Mm-hmm. And I've been very generous, but I got nothing back from her.
Mm-hmm. So an ungrateful granddaughter situation.
Well, she,
exactly.
So let me ask you this question, Susan. I hear what you're saying, that she doesn't say thank you. Does she act, though, like she's not thankful when she sees you? Even if she doesn't acknowledge the gift, does she act like she's not thankful?
I assumed that because she is 18, mm-hmm. I'm probably on her lowest priority mm-hmm. list, mm-hmm. so she doesn't have really any time with me that she makes, and I've never begrudged her that. She was very involved in sports and has a part-time job and does well in school, and so no, I don't feel like that. She acts, on Mother's Day, I was with her, and she threw a card at me. I was sitting at a table, we were out to eat, and she just threw it at me. And I opened it, and I thought, well, I'm not going to say anything. This is family, and we're all here. And I've talked it over with my son sometimes about it, because I thought her parents should have said things to her.
Mm-hmm. Got you a card, but she just kind of tossed it at you rather than handed it to you. Is that what you're saying? She got you a Mother's Day card?
Yeah, well, her and her sister got me a very generic card, and they wrote mm-hmm. one or two sentences in it. It was just mm-hmm. a very generic, nothing very pleasant. But
yeah, and I'm not minimizing it, but sometimes we do say it's the thought that counts. Let me say something here. I'm with you, Susan, in the fact that manners are very important to me. I grew up, we'd go away and visit my grandma, and when we came back home after staying a few days with her, we'd have to write her a letter mm-hmm. and say thank you for having us over there. And manners are learned. And it's funny because I have this conversation with my wife. I'm not saying that she's a rude person, but I've learned that when I request something, I say please, and when someone does something for me, I say thank you. And we need to learn that, because our propensity usually as kids is not to do that. Our kids usually are quite self-focused, and we need to learn. They need to learn to be other focused. I used to have I've got a friend of mine, and if his kids didn't say please, they said pass the ketchup, he'd say wait 5 minutes. that was their training for them to learn to say please, because then they had to wait 5 minutes if they didn't do that. And so it's a training issue here, but it is important to you. But because she is 18, maybe you can go to her and you can just have that conversation with her. And I wouldn't do it in a blaming way, because that's where I wanted to get to tease apart, is she really ungrateful, or does she act ungrateful too? And maybe you say to her, listen, I love you and I care about you. Can I just say, tell you something that is really important to me, is really important when people say thank you, and I love you, and that's not why I'm giving you the gift, mm-hmm. but it is important to me. And just see how she tolerates that. And she might tolerate it well, and it might just take that one time that it sticks with her, even if the conversation is a little bit uncomfortable, but that sticks with her. And then in 20 years from now, she's having the conversation with her kids mm-hmm. saying, I learned this from my grandma because it wasn't as important with my parents, but my grandma taught me this, and this was a really good value to have, because please and thank you unlock a lot of doors for you in life.
Yeah, Dr. Jim?
I think you can teach her how to do this. Maybe it's not giving her money, though. Maybe it's to say, hey, I want to take you to the mall. Sounds like you live somewhat close. And I want to pick out a favorite outfit for you. And then why don't we grab a bite to eat? There's a better chance that you're going to get a thank you out of that. And if she doesn't, you just say, did you like that? You know, let her know, as Mark said, that, you know, it's the right way to is to say thank you. But maybe you'll get a better, maybe it's the way, you know, just the money, she's not thinking. She is a teenager. Her parents should have taught her better, but they didn't.
Susan, we'll be right back.
I was sort of vaguely familiar that the 12 steps had some origination in the Bible. I found Life Recovery. And one of the things I liked so much was that it had such a broad appeal. It wasn't limited to just alcohol or drugs, that it was addressing a wide range of problems.
At New Life, we believe everyone can benefit from a life recovery experience. There are life recovery groups all over the country. They take place online, in conference calls, and in person. And if there isn't one in your area, we can help you start one. We have startup materials, leaders' guides, CDs, Bibles, and more, all with discounts available for groups. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Terry Ward. The 12 Steps have long been a great help to people in recovery because much of the 12 Steps' power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible.
The 12 Steps is really a pattern for all of us as Christians.
You can also find out more at liferecoverygroups.com.
Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Now back to New Life Live.
Let's go back to Susan. And you called about your granddaughter, 18 years old. You give her gifts and she's not grateful for them. You heard what Dr. Jim Burns and Mark Cameron had to say, Susan. How do you accept that? What do you think?
Well, I have done that. I've taken She has an older sister who's older than her, and I've taken them always school shopping for new clothes, and they're my only granddaughters. And I have always been more than generous, taking them on trips, but she just does not seem to. And so I could say to her, I guess, you know, when I gave you money for Easter and when I gave you money for your birthday, you didn't acknowledge it. Is money not something that you want? Is that something that doesn't mean anything to you because you have a part-time job, and do you want something else? We've gone out to lunch. I've taken her out to lunch. I have taken her shopping. I have had those conversations with her since she's been about 14, when I finally got tired of her parents saying, well, she's just a kid, and kids, you know, and not thoughtful, and I'm like, okay, that might work, but when she gets older and she's around other people and she doesn't acknowledge thank you, she's not going to be thought of very highly. She's going to be thought of as kind of a spoiled person.
So you've addressed this with your son, you said, and he's kind of like, oh, yeah, they're just kids.
Well, it's more my daughter-in-law. Okay. I shouldn't have said both. My daughter-in-law is very much of doesn't want you to say anything negative about her children. Hmm. So that's kind of where I'm stuck. So yes, I think I've talked to my son, but talk again and tell him that I feel like this needs to, I mean, I don't want to say something to her and then have her just say, well, thank you, because that's not teaching her anything. Right. I think her parent should say, this is what I expect.
I'm wondering if there's something in the relationship, too, the fact that the granddaughter just kind of tossed that card at her.
Yes, it was very.
Do you think there's some kind of disconnect there between the two?
It's really hard to tell without seeing it, because it could just be that she she meant nothing in doing that, but you know, it was offensive to Susan. And so, you know, so that's where we have to be careful.
Yeah.
To not overthink it. I don't think Susan, you're overthinking it, but, yeah, it this girl needs to be, I was telling them before, during the break, that, this weekend we had our two grandchildren over. They're younger, 10 and 8. We took them to a fun movie, and we took them out to their only favorite meal, Chick-fil-A. And
so it wasn't on Sunday. No, we know that
they stayed. That's true. They stayed overnight, and we went to church together. And when they came up to me and said thank you so much, because I'd walked them to the car, and I said to them as the grandpa, I said, "Hey, go thank your grandma too." And they went right over there. They gave her a hug. They wouldn't have thought of that. I mean, now they're 8 and 10, but kids don't think of that stuff. So really, I want to slap your son a little bit on the hand, because he should be doing that, even if they're not. They're just being goofy, entitled, you know, kids, really late in teenager at 18. But I wish your son would say, hey, you know, be sure and thank your grandma for it. We would much rather have them ooze all over us, but that's not going to happen. But and you don't want to give gifts just for that reason. However, I would one day you might want to say it without trying to be the, you know, the old, you know, grandma who's, you know, whining too much. You know, be careful with it, but just say, you know, I really want to help them become more thankful. And you can help me with that too by just saying, hey, thank your grandma, even if you have to teach them, because they're going to have to become responsible for that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a bad expectation that you want the parents to do it, but right. Sometimes we get into adulthood. Yeah. And we don't get everything that we need from our parents. And
that's right.
We got to learn it through the life lesson way. And so, but I love what you said that you were going to do. I think that's really great wording to say, hey, I noticed that you didn't acknowledge that gift. Yeah. And I'm wondering, really, is that not as important to you? Is there something else that you prefer? Because in saying that, it's not a backhanded way, but in saying that, you're pointing out that you didn't really say anything. But you're also saying, is there something different that I can do that will acknowledge and show appreciation and love? And then she has to answer to that. And so I think if she's not going to get it in from her parents, and again, she is 18, she's still a teenager, even though she gets to make adult decisions to a certain degree. And so it's time for her to learn and to learn that, you know, she can learn that from you here.
Yeah.
What I would say is, don't die on a hill over this.
Yeah.
Don't let that be what is going to like define your relationship going forward. And do also question too, because each of us have certain sensitivities to things. Mm-hmm. Question, you know, what is that? What feeling does that elicit in me?
Yeah.
And where maybe is the root of that feeling for me? You know, it's very, very bothersome. Why is it so bothersome?
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes just when we acknowledge, I said to my grandson the other day, I said, you know what? I realize I'm an old guy. Thank you so much for hanging out with your grandpa. And I put my arm around him, and he has hair and I don't. And I rubbed his little head, and he just gave me a hug. He didn't say, well, thank you for hanging out with me. But I wanted to model that, you know, I'm grateful that he still hangs out with me. Those kinds of things. Be that grandma. You're not the Susan. I don't sense that you're the grandma that only gives, you know, socks and underwear at Christmas. No, lavish them with fun. Be the fun grandma, and that may help. But they need that lesson, and maybe it is. You know, I look at things that I learned from my grandma that I did not get from my parents. Her name was Nini, and well, we called her Nini because my brother couldn't say grandma. And I learned so much from her. And she'd sometimes get on me. She would have said, "Hey, I gave you that. You need to thank me for it." But it was because she had shown so much love and generosity to me. So, yeah, I did it. And I probably didn't say it as good as I could have. But, Susan, I think you're really close in terms of keep it up. Don't punish her because she didn't say thank you. But, you know, keep being that loving, generous grandma, because as she gets a little bit older, that, you know, as she gets into what we call the emerging adulthood, she really may need you for some of those lunches and some of those other things, because maybe she can't talk to her mom the way she can talk to you.
Would your book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children, help in this situation?
Yeah, even I
though
think
it's a grandchild.
Grandparents use it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Susan, thanks for calling us today here on New Life Live. That book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children, is available in the newlife.com store. Let's talk to Teresa in Washington, D.C., listening to us on newlife.com. Welcome to the show, Teresa.
Hi. Hi, this is Teresa.
Yes.
I have a question. I lost my father in 1990, in the 1990s, end of the 1990s, and it was a very tragic circumstance. He had been an alcoholic on the verge of dying for quite a while. And then he actually had a massive heart attack at the home of his mistress, and we never found out until very, very, very many hours after he'd been hospitalized. I behaved in a way that concerns me, and I'd like to see if you could help me understand it so that I don't do it again at the passing of my mom or somebody else. I took my kids out of their school, and I kind of stayed away from my support group, and I'm thinking I was so filled with shame that I couldn't face everybody. So depressed and filled with shame, but I don't understand it, and I'm asking if you understand it and can help me understand it.
You're talking about the shame because you found out that he died in the home of his mistress?
Yeah, and the shame of all those years of alcoholism. We did three interventions that never worked. He was hospitalized at one moment, didn't even remember my name. Did all kinds of, you know, it was just a very long road full of all kinds of hurts. And I was trying to process the loss of somebody who was important, but not at all in there was no healing or closure or
right.
or anything. So I was probably guilty of trying to do a couple of those interventions that hurt him.
Hmm. And how old were you when all this happened? Was this...
I was 30,
roughly.
33.
Okay, so you were in your 30s. Okay, so we've got a break coming up, and I'm sure Mark and Jim have some more questions to ask you might need to dig a little deeper just to get you the answer that you need. So stay on the phone through the break, and we'll be back with you. This is New Life Live. I'm your host, Brian Perez, here with Dr. Jim Burns and Mark Cameron. We have been doing this for almost four decades now, and people are struggling with whatever their situation. I mean, look at Teresa. This happened 30 years ago, and it's still on her mind. It's still bugging her, and she wants to make sure that she doesn't handle anything that happens in the future like this again. So stay on the phone, Teresa. We'll be right back.
90% of Christians have trouble with sex, have trouble with marriage, have trouble with communicating because we were not ever taught practical basic things about intimacy, about marriage, about sex. We did a huge disservice to ourselves.
When you come to intimacy in marriage, you're going to be immersed into a three-day process.
They taught us a ton of skills about connecting, about how to really help each other to feel seen and heard.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is July 24th through the 26th in Washington, D.C. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I think if everyone came earlier rather than later, they could save themselves years of misery and misunderstanding.
For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be
is.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Now back to New Life Live.
Let's go back to Teresa, who's listening to us on newlife.com in Washington, D.C. You still with us, Teresa?
Yes.
Great. All right. So, Mark, what would you want to ask Teresa?
Yes. Teresa, what's got you thinking about this now? You said that you didn't want to do this at your mom's funeral. Is your mom close to death?
Well, to be honest, she passed away a year and a half ago. Now, it's a different relationship, so that's not entirely, you know, a formula, because the relationship with my father was so conflictual, and I wasn't even saved at that moment. I didn't know Jesus and didn't have the Holy Spirit. So it's just, I'm also trying to help people that have a walk through grief, and I'm trying to understand myself. Because I think I can isolate myself. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it's just shame or... I mean, I was obviously very angry with him. Very angry. And I tried for a couple of years to do interventions and to save him. And nothing worked.
Mm. Yeah, I was just curious why you were thinking about it right now. I mean, I hear you talking about shame, and I'm glad you're aware of it, because we all struggle with shame. Every single person struggles with shame in some way, even if we don't recognize it and acknowledge it. And the difference between guilt and shame is personhood. Guilt says, I did something wrong. It's related to an action, where shame says, there's something wrong with me. I'm bad. And a lot of times when somebody acts out, who's close to us, oftentimes... we can end up wearing their shame, meaning like I wasn't good enough for my dad to want to connect with me. Or, you know, if it's a betrayal situation, this often happens too, where the betrayed partner feels shame over like my spouse cheated on me, I'm not good enough for them. And I heard you say something, you said that you made interventions, or you were part of interventions that hurt him.
Well, when... I mean, yeah, he didn't like that, right? So he got angry with us. But I think what you just said is very true. Mm-hmm. You know, the shame of not having been able to help him, mm-hmm. has kind of been a haunting theme, that I didn't do enough or it didn't work or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the shame of his behavior, too, that he came over to my neighborhood one day. And he walked into my neighbor's house and said, where's Claire? I mean, they were just like very, he was losing his mind. Mm-hmm. So it became a thing where, you know, people knew in my neighborhood, some people that were close to me, because his behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So visible. you've internalized that into what we call a negative self-belief. Like when you say something like, I didn't do enough, that's a negative self-belief about you. And so you've ended up internalizing that. And of course, people who are addicted, they resist help if they're not yet willing to change. And really, he should have been the one to acknowledge that he was an alcoholic, that he was having an affair, that he neglected you. And all you were doing in those interventions was really like, I want my dad back. I want my dad back because I want to be loved and cared for by him. And he's not giving that to me. And that's just a natural propensity for a person. And because he didn't want to do that, somehow you've ended up internalizing that, where I hurt him and I didn't do enough. And I think getting into therapy right now, I think would be really good, just to have someone, even though it was a long time ago, just walk you through that and process that. And these negative self-beliefs, oftentimes they're subconscious, meaning that we're not really thinking about that. That we don't see the words go through our mind when something comes up. It's just something that, it's like an app that runs in the background. Mm-hmm. It's there and we're not aware of it. And as you get into therapy and you process through all of those things, you start to become more aware of those scripts, those internal scripts that we mm-hmm. have. And then when they come up, you can say, ah, I know what that's triggering in me, and I know where that's connected to. And then you're able to tease those two things apart and depersonalize what the current situation from your past history. But I think processing this in therapy too would also help relieve you from the burden of this was my fault.
Jim?
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking, if you go to a therapist, they would love to have conversations with you because you're working on this stuff. You want to look back, you're looking back a long ways, but you'll become a better person for going through it. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff therapists can help you think through in a big way. A couple of thoughts. Number one is, we, and this is for you and every listener and Mark, myself, Brian, all of us, we are not defined by our parents' poor choices. So my dad was an alcoholic. That doesn't mean that I'm now defined as a child of an alcoholic. I'm a child of God. You made a decision. You said that prior, when your dad died, you were not saved. You were not a Christ follower. Today you are. One of the things that the Bible says is that you're a new creation in Christ. So how beautiful is that, that you can now approach this in a different manner? And sometimes we need some counseling and some coaching to do that. So I would highly recommend what Mark said and do that. You know, the Bible talks about being a transitional generation. I want to encourage you, Teresa. The Bible says that you inherit the sins of a previous generation to the third and fourth generations, all throughout the Old Testament. And it doesn't mean always it's the same sin, but it could be a sin bent. Sin just simply means to miss the mark. And you can be the transitional generation here. So, you know, you've made a commitment to Christ. You're not living the life that he chose to live, and it was his choice. Well, in a good way, you know, you can rejoice that you're going in a different direction, and that's going to affect your children and your children's children in a beautiful way. So I want to encourage you to be the healthiest version of Teresa, and that might be getting some counseling. A lot of times we think about getting counseling as something negative or something, well, I'm crazy or I need help. No. Counseling is helping you become all that God created you to be. That person is trained to help you become that person. So, I think you're asking a great question, and I think a lot of people feel stuck or they don't grow because of a past relationship with a father wound, for example, like you have. Get the help you need, and you'll be better off for it, and the generations to come will be better off for it.
Yeah, I love what you said there, Jim. I wrote that down. We're not defined by our parents' choices. And that is true. We are not defined, but we need to realize that yeah. because we are, our identity is shaped in relationships.
Sure.
And so I think as you do therapy, you'll learn how to tease those two things apart.
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes. You know, I say a lot of times to parents who have adult children who are violating values, you're not defined by your mm-hmm. children's choice.
Yeah.
That sounds easier, but it's the same exact thing for our parents.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first became a Christian and, you know, other people said they had a wonderful relationship with their family. And, you know, here was my family, an alcoholic family. And my grandpa died of cirrhosis of the liver. And, you know, it's a big mess. I was embarrassed to share that mm-hmm. with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You know, but I was, and I understand that and get that. So I needed the help to realize that I'm defined by my relationship with God, not my relationship with maybe a parent who, you know, my expectations were not being, I wasn't experiencing the expectations. I mean, he wasn't going to be the dad that I thought he was going to be, or I'd hoped he would be, but I did have a Heavenly Father. So my relationship with God was really defining who I became.
Teresa, we've got a webinar coming up a week from today, and I think we'll send you a free registration for it. It's called Identity in Christ, What the Bible Says.
Yeah.
So it's on June 11th, and anyone who wants to sign up for this, you can just text the word webinar to 28950. We'll text you back a registration link as well as a free tip sheet on identity. Thank you so much for joining us today on New Life Live. We're out of time. Don't forget, we have a matching gift challenge going on right now. We had it at $250, but we're so close to that we said, you know what, let's just go up to $300. $300,000. So $300,000 is our matching gift right now. You can find out more at newlife.com. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live.